Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. As America broils in campaign rhetoric, South Dakota U.S. Senator Mike Rounds has yet to officially announce his intentions to seek re-election. That's not necessarily significant, but some voters are wondering if the health of Jean Rounds, the senator's wife, is or should be part of the conversation. SDPB's Kevin Wooster writes about Jean Rounds on his blog, and you can find his blog at sdpb.org/Wooster. Kevin, welcome. Thanks for being here.
Hey, it's good to be back. I took on a subject that I've kind of been avoiding for months and just finally decided to talk about it. Because it's been talked about so much, and we've reported on Jean Rounds' health specifically, but people have, I think, like me, have hesitated to speculate too much from a political standpoint, just because, do you really want to put that into the formula there? Do you want to focus on a woman that's faced a really serious health problem and challenge and focus on that, but it certainly has been the backstory.
Yeah. So let's talk about her health first, because when you write about her first and just what she's going through, and her value as a human being and her value to her husband and to her family. There's a lot that should be put first in that conversation.
Yeah, I think that and especially today, we forget the humanity of people a lot of the times in politics. And it's always good when you see that come out. So it seemed obvious that if you're going to start to write this, you should start with Jean, the person, the human being, the wife, the mother, the grandmother, and the friend of so many. And I talked to one of the Rounds people, and he said he was glad that I did that, that they're certainly trying to put her first in all of their discussions, as they should. So, yeah. Somebody that's been with Mike as a spouse for more than 40 years, and I'm sure sometime before that to get to know him at college. So, I think that's where you start, and that's the centerpiece of all of these discussions, or should be.
That shouldn't be that hard.
It shouldn't be.
It shouldn't be that hard to sit and, so many of us have people in our lives who have personal experiences with what it's like to get a cancer diagnosis and try to figure out what's next and to go through treatment and to travel for treatment and to try to afford treatment, that when you hear the word cancer, everyone should be able to pause and get their priorities straight before moving forward into the politics of things.
You would hope so. And apparently this was one of those, it was one that, they didn't get into great detail about it other than say it was near the sciatic nerve and it was an aggressive form and it was, a tough situation to begin with, worrisome, obviously, to say the least. Mm-hmm. And so there was a lot of that concern. And obviously Mike Rounds' focus was where it should have been and with his wife. And then the good news continued to come out. And I think that's part of why I became more comfortable with writing about that, is because the good news followed bad, as I said in there, and she responded well to treatment and is responding well. And so it seemed appropriate to do that. And I think as I get older, I worry more about what's appropriate to write about. Maybe then I didn't always do that as much when I was younger and a little more aggressive.
Right. Well, let's talk a little bit about what people are, the question marks that come up when there is a health concern in a family during campaign season, because it's not for nothing that people are wondering the impact that will have on whether or not he will run, how he will run, how he will do his job. All of that is a fair question when you're talking about someone who's representing us in Congress.
It is fair. That's all something you have to figure into the equation when you're deciding who you're going to vote for. And you can rightly ask, is this going to impair his ability to serve this state? Is it going to lessen his focus on his job? And I think you're certainly perfectly right to ask that. I think there's also things that get a little weirder in terms of some of the theories that are out about, and they're all conspiratorial about he's really plans to resign, but they're going to time it so that the governor can appoint Dusty Johnson to fill in until the next election. And then there's a whole, a domino thing about things that happen from there that people are constructing, which I've never really bought into any of what I've heard. I've assumed, especially from the time that I heard that the gene was responding well to treatment, and, you know, we've all known, you mentioned that we've all known people and family members and that have gone through these things, and I think we have a better perspective on what treatment means now,
right,
and what kind of a duration we're usually looking at as that treatment progresses, when it might have been a very short-term prognosis years ago, and now it's typically years. Even if it's a complicated cancer, it's typically years.
Really, I haven't made any secret of my brother's cancer fight, but one of our common refrains has been, you know, stay alive 6 more months because they're going to invent something new. You know, he's had this, you know, he's had a treatment and then it works and then the cancer comes back. And then, well, this is a new thing that just happened. And now we can do this here, whereas we couldn't before. And so we joke about as one does sort of, you know, begrudgingly joke about things like cancer, that just hop to that next lily pad and hold on, because, and that's been going on for years. Struggle and that living with cancer, and it doesn't necessarily mean the same thing it meant even 10 years ago when you hear the words cancer.
No, it certainly doesn't mean what it meant in 1968 when my dad had cancer surgery in June and was dead by the end of August.
Right.
You know, that those kinds of things, first of all, they tended to detect things a little sooner, and there's so many more treatment options and so many more health preservation options that go with the treatment. And you know, like I said in the blog piece, especially at these top flight institutions, of which Mayo is certainly one, the stunning, tragic surprises don't happen nearly as much as they used to. They're, as you say, and as, you know, I feel comfortable talking about our friend Denise Ross, because she spoke of it so openly in the way she carried on for 7 years or so. As you said, she was looking for the next stone to jump to stay out of the water, and you know, and she found some in amazing ways, because she was so resourceful, and those things were available, and gave her family more time. So,
and Washington,
I think you start with that.
Washington has changed too, because there was a time, and you mentioned this in your column, that, you know, people didn't fly home every weekend, and now being a U.S. senator, certainly he's gone a lot. But there is an expectation of these public servants that they get to come home more often than maybe they did in years before.
Yeah, and I have personal reservations about that whole
thing.
Right,
for better or for worse, you hear, yeah.
Yeah, it seems to me like it makes sense to live where you work and build relationships that sometimes involve weekend picnics with committee members and their families and things like that. But that doesn't seem to be what we're doing now. And so the system is... And I understand also why people want to keep their home life intact, pretty much.
Yeah.
But the system is that they're home Thursday night or Friday, and here till Sunday or Monday sometime, depending on what the schedule is. And then those extended holidays, the long late summer break, all that kind of stuff. And means, you know, a U.S. senator is in Fort Pierre a lot of the time. Also, as I said in there, if that involves trips to Mayo, that's a pretty easy trip from D.C., easier probably than it is from Fort Pierre.
Right.
So he can get around. And people, we had a senator that was missing in action for years, I mean, really, for a month. And I don't think we will ever see that again. But I don't think anybody begrudges someone that's taking time away from the Senate to around big votes and around big hearings to be with family for very legitimate reasons. So.
All right. So in our remaining minute or so, why hasn't he announced his intentions to run again?
Well, I think there's a lot going on in his life that didn't have to do with announcement. So they're probably getting all that in order. And, you know, I could be surprised here. As my wife tells me, you're wrong about 90% of the time. Well, that's a little high.
That's a little high.
I can certainly be wrong. And I would certainly expect to see something by the end of the year. But, you know, he doesn't have to get out early because he knows he can raise money. He knows he's well known. He's about as well known as it gets. And he doesn't have what I would call a challenger looming that would likely be a major threat to him, at least in chances of winning. So
the primary would be, a big marker for that. So as you're saying, Skyler Borglum probably is not going to raise the kind of money that Mike Rounds is going to raise, even if he starts a little later than usual.
She is a pronounced underdog if it's a two-person race, yeah. And he is the pronounced favorite, regardless. I think going out. So
you can read Kevin Wooster's blog at sdpb.org/Wooster. So much really there to dive into and read. I invite you to, if you haven't found it, to find it today. Kevin, thanks so much for being here. We really appreciate it.
All right, take care, Mark.